Throughout this psalm, we have seen the psalmist considering the very situations that he's found himself in. On each occasion, we've seen the psalmist turns to God and his word, how he has been comforted by God through his word, and this section is no different. For in this section, we will see that the psalmist has taken comfort from God's word in times of affliction. The psalmist starts by asking God to remember what you have said to him. This is not a polite request. It's a sincere plea. Please remember what you have said to me. That's so different from us. How often have we wished others didn't remember what we have said? Because it usually means we've not done what was requested. We'd rather not have them remember what we've said, as it so often shows up our faults. Things that we have done wrong, or things that we shouldn't have done. But yet, that's so different from the psalmist's call. Remember the word to your servant. The psalmist wants God to remember all his words, all that he's spoken of before. All that God has revealed, the psalmist is calling on him to remember. To understand what the psalmist is calling God to remember, we need to understand what God has said. God has spoken the law, the Torah. This is God telling his people how they are to live their lives, how they are to worship him, and how they are to live with each other. It's not simply a set of rules and regulations. It's God telling us the direction in which we, his people, are to go. The way forward that is acceptable to God. God has also spoken of his judgments, what he has done in the past. You remember the mighty power in which he poured, the mighty power he poured out on the land of Egypt when he brought the people out of Egypt. How God destroyed Pharaoh and his chariots as he pursued the children of Israel across the Red Sea. How God destroyed Og, king of Bashan, so that none of his people were left. And how his land was given to God's children, to Reuben and Manasseh, the half-tribe of Joseph. How Sion, king of Heshbon, would not let the people of Israel through his land on their way to the promised land. And how God's people went up against them and destroyed them, again with God's help. What about Gideon? And the 300 he had, and routed the Midianites, a vastly superior army. Then, of course, there's the many defeats of the Philistines. You remember Samson, how he killed several thousand in the temple by pulling it down on them. Or even the killing of Goliath by David, and the routing of them in the battle that followed. God has spoken of these great deliverances of his people of old. These have been recorded for us, so that we too will not forget what God has done in the past. It's worth reminding ourselves of how God has spoken to the psalmist, as well as to us. In Hebrews it says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. God initially spoke directly to his people, people like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He then spoke to Moses, who he called to lead his people out of Egypt into slavery. God spoke to Moses as he was talking to a friend. Moses then spoke to the people of Israel, and in so doing the law of God was given to his people. Once the people had settled in the promised land, God spoke to them through the prophets. These are men chosen by God to communicate his word to the people. People like Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and others. These men continued to instruct the people in God's ways, right up and into the exile of God's people to Babylon. And after the return from the exile, there was silence for 400 years until God's Son came forth into the world. God spoke through his Son and through his death and resurrection, which took away the sins of the world by placing them on him. As we remember at each communion service, this opened the way for us to become part of God's kingdom. God's words were written down through all ages as men were inspired by the Holy Spirit. This led to the canon of scripture that we have today. And this is now complete as Revelation 22 verses 18 and 19 reminds us. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. This is a warning to all about adding to God's word. Anyone who adds to the words of God will come under God's punishment and be removed from the list of those who are going to heaven. The fact that this warning exists in God's word implies that it's now complete. This, of course, leads us to see that the many cults and other religions that have sprung up having rewritten God's words to their own ends will receive the judgment that is to come. But we have not been left alone. We've not been left alone in trying to understand God's word. For the Holy Spirit has been sent by God to aid us in our daily lives and to work with our spirit. As it's recorded in John chapter 14. If you love me, says Jesus, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. That he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. This promised help has come. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand God's word. And today God speaks to us through his word, as written in the Bible, with the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, having seen that the psalmist wanted God to remember his words, we can now consider when the psalmist wanted God to remember his word. Within this stanza, there are a number of situations that have arisen when the psalmist has called out to God to remember his word to him. How many times have we heard some derisory comment from other people? Something along the lines of, I don't need a crutch to get me through this life. I can manage on my own. Is that not implying that you're a weakling and can't manage on your own? How many people do we know who make fun of religion? There are many religious jokes around. Some of them are even funny. Others are incredibly sad. Often those who are making such jokes cannot understand those who have a faith. Hence they make fun of it. People often make fun of the things they don't understand. They make fun of the Christian's lifestyle. The restraint in not overdrinking or overeating. You know what I mean. Summed up in not letting your hair down syndrome. Psalmist looks on these people and he is indignant. He is horrified that these proud, insolent people are daring to stand up and deride God. The God who created the universe. The God who brought them into being. The God who has given them the air they breathe. The God who has given them the means to live. They have utterly turned away and forsaken God. Not only are they turning their backs on him, but they're scoffing at him as well. Do they not see what their actions are doing? Do they not realize the awful wrath of God that will come upon them? It is not their laughter and scorn that the psalmist has raised his indignation about. It is that they have forsaken God's law, and in insulting God, this has brought about his indignation. How could anyone do such a thing to God? Indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law. The psalmist's indignation has come about by the insight into the judgment to come. He has realized what their actions are leading to. The consequences of what they are doing, as another psalmist says elsewhere in Psalm 73, when he saw the ways the wicked were going, how their eyes bulged with abundance, how loftily they spoke, how they spoke of the oppression of others. Until that psalmist went into the sanctuary of God, and then he understood their end. He saw that their end was damnation and destruction. The judgment of hell was to come on them. Then he could take comfort and strength when others were deriding God and making fun of him. It's the same end we see today. Those who deride God will spend all eternity in hell. How often are we grieved at people who scorn the living God? How do we feel when people take the name of God in vain? We should be as indignant as the psalmist was. We know the judgment to come. How often do we turn a blind eye or a deaf ear to them? How often do we ignore them and pretend we have not heard? Yet, as faithful servants of God, we should stand. We should confront them of the hurt we feel inside. We should have a greater concern for their spiritual well-being. We should help them escape from the wrath that's to come, rather than spending our time quietly getting on with what we should be doing, not wishing to bring their indignation on us. It's only when they are brought face to face with the consequences of their words and actions will they see the hurt they are causing. People need to be told that the wrath of God is coming on all who deride God. They need to know that they will have to face God in the end. They can either face God as judge and be condemned to everlasting punishment, or they can accept him as Saviour and meet him as Father. As the psalmist suffered, so we can expect the same treatment from the world. We will be made fun of. We will be made the butts of their jokes. But those who are deriding Christians, they're usually hiding something. The derision is often a cover for their fear. Fear that they're wrong. They are scared that those who trust in God are right, fearing that in the end they will be left outside while others are taken into the kingdom of God. They're trying to destroy the Christian belief by making fun of him, and that's one way of bringing Christians down. Yet derision will always fail. It will always fall short of the mark. Why? Because they're not prepared to put their trust in God. Christians will not give an inch to those who deride them. We will not be diverted from God's highway onto the broad way that leads to hell and damnation. Anyone who wishes to direct us away from God's path only wishes to seek our harm and to justify to themselves that they were right and we are wrong. The psalmist knows that he's only on earth for a short time compared to eternity. He knows that he's on a journey to a better place. He knows that there is a life to come. He knows that his life on this earth is like the morning dew. It evaporates as the heat of the sun strikes it and is gone. Yet it is full of strife and anguish. And we're in exactly the same position as the psalmist. Our lives are comparatively short compared to eternity. We too are strangers in this land. We too are on a journey to a promised land. Ours is not of this earth, but it is yet to come. The journey we're on is not one to moan about or complain about, or to continue with sighing and depression. For we have our God and Saviour with us. He is guiding us through our journey to heaven. His statutes are written in His word for our strength and our comfort. He has shown us the life to lead, and it is not full of hindrances and restrictions. It is a life of freedom. Freedom to worship God. Freedom to praise God for all that He's done and all His promises to us. We can rejoice in God's statutes as we obey and follow them. This may at first seem hard and difficult, but as we go on, they become less burdensome, and we are more able to rejoice in God. How often do we need comfort when we're afflicted? We're all afflicted at some time or other. Afflictions come to us all and are as different as we are different. Some have physical ailments that are long term and so easily bring us down. Some have family problems that require delicate negotiations, which may go on and on and on and on without a solution. Some have to deal with family ailments. We have concerns as parents for our children. We have concerns as children for our parents. And worry is a great affliction. Times of unemployment, you're concerned about the future and what might or might not happen. Terminal illnesses afflict others, leading to concerns for what will happen to them, to those who are left behind. All these and many others affect us to some extent or other. We each have to deal with these situations in different ways, for we're all different. Yet, in each of our situations, we find comfort in God's word. For example, I was made redundant 3 years ago, and it was my wife who read the Psalms to me every morning, which gave me the strength to get out of bed and deal with that day's problems of hunting for a job. Strength and comfort came from reading God's words. What happens when you wake up in the night and you find it difficult to sleep? Where do your thoughts run to? Some will run over the day's events. Some will consider what is to be done tomorrow or the next day. Others may remember things that have happened in the past. Others may even dream of how they would like this to be in the future. What about the times when the world seems to be closing in on you? Times when everything seems to be getting blacker and blacker, and everything seems to be frighteningly close and closing in on you. Times when you have nothing other than your own fears to deal with. Where do you run for that light to see you through? Well, the psalmist runs to God's statutes, and so should we. He remembers them. He remembers what God has done in the past. He remembers the promises that God has made. Those promises which God has already fulfilled. He gains comfort from God's word, from the statutes and deliverances that are recorded in God's word, some of which we've already looked at. Having remembered the laws of God during the night implies that the psalmist must have remembered and kept the laws of God during the day. Otherwise he wouldn't have been able to remember them. He may not have kept them perfectly, but he has kept them. When we're in the process of making far-reaching decisions, we can find comfort from God's word. Times when we're not sure if we've done the right thing, we can seek God through His word and in prayer. Remember, the Holy Spirit is with us and leads us in paths that we should be going. Now, we all need comfort, and there are many different places where people look for comfort. Some find comfort in chocolate. It's almost a running joke at work when things get difficult. First thing that's wanted is a bar of chocolate. More chocolate. More chocolate. More chocolate. Second place where people look for comfort is slightly more serious if it's embarked upon. And that's in a bottle of wine or a brandy or other strong drink. There are many problems in the bottom of a bottle of alcohol and no solutions. Others find their comfort in their wallets. They look at what they have and are comforted by it. And yet we've seen recently with the turmoil in the financial markets and in the economy in general that it's not as comforting as it used to be. Our capital has not necessarily increased, and in many cases has shrunk. People who have their trust in it are not as secure as they used to be. For the psalmist, comfort comes from God's word. It is the word of God that brings comfort to our souls. The more we hold on to the promises of God, the greater our comfort will be. The more we read and immerse ourselves in the word of God, the greater our comfort we will receive from it. Consider the times when we felt bowed down by every weight of affliction we're carrying. When everything seems to be against us and weighing us down. When everything seems to be incredibly difficult. When we are weighed down so much that nothing seems to cheer us up. Yet it's the word of God that brings us the comfort we need. It does not mean simply reading a passage of scripture and will instantly cheer us up. Be it a favourite passage or one that we can be directed to bring instant relief from all afflictions that are in us. It is the constant immersion in God's word that gives us the comfort we need. We should flee into God's words when afflictions come upon us. As we immerse ourselves in God's word, the afflictions are not taken from us, but we will be able to rise above them. The more we see things from God's perspective, the easier we can deal with our afflictions. Seeing things from God's perspective puts everything back in its proper place. And keeping things in God's perspective enables us to deal with everything that's thrown at us. As we look back on our lives, we can see that there has been one solid foundation that's kept us, and that is the Word of God. The promises God has made in His Word are the very things which have kept us and brought us to this point. We were dead in our sins when God first spoke to us, and we are now no longer dead to the Word of God. Why? Because we have found and held on to the promises God has given in His Word. This we have not had to do on our own. We have been helped by God through His Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that quickened our spirit towards the things of God in the first place. The Holy Spirit works with our spirit to bring things of God to our minds, thereby providing the comfort we so desperately need in this life. There is much in this world which can bring us down, and if we're relying on anything in this world, we will eventually be disappointed by the outcome. The riches of this world will not save us from the wrath to come. Our ability to do good will not save us from the wrath to come. The only thing that can give true comfort is knowing Christ as our Saviour and Lord. And let's not forget, He is not far from us. God's Word is personified in Christ Jesus. He is the centre of the comfort we need. He is the one to whom we can run to in times of trouble, in times when the world gets too much for us. But what about you who don't know Christ? Well, you too can run to Him. Can you see that whatever you are currently holding on to for comfort is not enough? All you need to do is stop relying on yourself and seek God. Turn from that which you're holding on to and cling to the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and believe, and He will give you the comfort and the help you need in this life. There is the promise of eternal life. All who truly repent and accept Christ as Saviour and Lord will be accepted into God's kingdom and remain with Him forever. God's word does bring comfort to our souls, especially in times of difficulties, for it gives us life. When we're ridiculed as Christians, we have no need to sit in the corner in despair. As the psalmist rallied his spirits through remembering God's judgment, so can we. We should not only remember the kindness of God, as he poured out his love on us by bringing us into his kingdom, we need to remember the fierceness of God's wrath as it was poured out on his enemies of old. That same judgment will be poured out on all those who continue to pour scorn on Christians and on God. Our God rules with a strong hand and will come down in judgment on all who stand against him. All who take delight in deriding his people will be destroyed. When God returns, he will judge the world. He will destroy those who have continually derided him. They will know who God is. They will realize what they have done is wrong. But they will not have the chance to repent. For by then it will be too late. For the end has come. We must all consider carefully our position before God. Are we deriding him? Pouring scorn on him and his people? If so, remember that in the end the judgment of hell beckons, where there is no respite. Have you already accepted Christ as Saviour and Lord? If so, take comfort in the judgments of old. Are you unsure? Then come to God's word, the Bible, and read it. Come and speak to God and seek his face. He will answer all who genuinely call upon him. We can still take comfort from God's word even when we've forgotten specific words that God has spoken to us. God's words fall to the ground without us heeding it. We have no need to despair. God is gracious to us. He will remind us of his words and the promise that he's already given us. We have no need to fear of not remembering all of God's words to us. We are reminded of God's word by God. We can, as the psalmist did here, ask God to remember his word to us. For our true comfort comes from God. God's works of old remind us who God is and what he can do. We should not forget what God has done in the past, in our lives, and in the lives of those around us. We're told to keep God's statutes, as verse 4 of our psalm says. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. For in keeping God's precepts, we have the hope of eternity and the strength and comfort we need for our daily walk. We can only keep God's commandments when we've learnt them and understood them. Understanding comes from the word of God, and we should diligently seek to understand his word. And as we learn from God, we praise God. As we praise God, we desire to learn him more, and so doing so. And it goes on and on and on in a wonderful circle. And there are many psalms and spiritual songs in the Bible, written and elsewhere, to help us to rejoice in God and his statutes. As we continue on our path God has set before us, we can sing and rejoice in all that God has done for us, the statutes he's laid down for us.